Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
It's Nerds Podcast number 492. You know what this is, Kyle?
What's that?
A hostful podcast.
Ooh.
I know. We don't get to do a lot of them as much because we have so many guests that want to do the show, and I don't like saying no to people that I want to talk to. And
it's a hell of a problem to have.
And we also all, Matt has a very busy schedule writing on At Midnight. Jonah has a very busy schedule
hanging out,
just being up at midnight. So we all have very, well, Jonah's been doing the Meltdown show, which from what I hear, it turned out amazing.
It was
the TV version of the Meltdown show, which I did. And it was really fun.
I got to sneak a peek at a little bit of it, and it looks insanely good.
So, you know, we'll be putting up more hostfuls. I'm going to try to make more room for hostfuls in the future. And then also, you know, we will also try to do a handful of Loud Nerds podcasts here. And I'm sure we'll do one at San Diego Comic Con this year. But in addition, you know, we'll also probably start doing some live At Midnights around the country. Ooh. And but then I'm also doing stand-up because I'm going to do an album in about a year and a comedy special in a little less than a year. So
Mandroid 2.
It's not going to be
Son
called
of Mandroid.
Oh, man. God damn it. Why'd you put that in my head now? Mandroid 2, Son of Mandroid. Son of Mandroid! Shit. Damn it.
It works on a bunch of levels.
God damn it. Or is Son of Mandroid just the special
people thing? Who put stuff on Chris Hardwick's Wikipedia page without his consent just start blasting Son of Mandroid on there as this new album's title?
I do not condone that. I'm living with the idea right now, but I really enjoy it. But yes, it's always fun when the sister wives and I get together and catch up. Because I feel like the last time, the last hostful we did was a really honest one. It was like, oh, you know, we had this sort of falling out. Let's work it through on the podcast as we are sort of being more open. And my feeling was that it would help people go, oh, this is a way that you work through problems with your friends as opposed to just getting shitty with them. But what happened was like 60 or 70% of the people found it to be very interesting and helpful. And 30% of the people were eked out because it felt like their parents were fighting. And so what I hadn't really considered was, oh yeah, nerds don't love conflict. They don't love hearing conflict. They don't love any non-text-based conflict.
Now if that episode that has just been released on a message transcript,
yes, then
we'd be back in business.
But this one was really fun. This was
the
more
opposite
upbeat
of that episode.
This one was more fun and upbeat. I would like to say this episode of the Nerds Podcast was brought to you by The 100 on the CW, which premieres Wednesday, March 19th at 9, 8 Central on the CW, which is essentially there's the nuclear a nuclear issue has wiped out the other issue on the planet, which are human beings, and there are essentially 400 survivors on these 12 international space stations that were in orbit at the time, and so they don't know if it's safe to go back to Earth. But you know, eventually you're gonna have to get back down. It's sort of like moving out of an apartment and moving into a condo or a one bedroom house. It's like we're going to need to expand.
You know what I like to do when I move into a condo is first send 100 teens to make sure that the place is safe.
You want to send 100 teens into the house to
apartment.
Make sure that it's not haunted, yeah, or that the air is not poisonous, or that they're not above a hellmouth, or whatever, what have you.
The problem is all those L.A. hellmouths.
Yeah.
It's the bait and switch.
So many hellmouths.
Like,
it's very hard to
chrome moldings. I'm like, I would like to talk about the hellmouth, and they're like, Central Air.
Is this a hellmouth or are we just on Van Nuys Boulevard? Like, you can't tell the difference between the two. It's a very
long helmet.
It's one long mouth of hell that won't end. But so they send 100 juveniles down to the surface of the earth to be like, you guys test this out. And then so essentially all these young people have inherited the earth, 100 people, with the run of a nuclear blasted planet. Watch 100 kids figure shit out on a nuclear holocausted planet. Wednesday, March 19th, 9, 8 central on the CW. And now here we are with the Nerdist Podcast number 492.
Hostful goodness.
Is the episode haunted?
Haunted hostful. We did the mash. We did the hostful mash. It was a Myra smash. Jonah's listening to The Clash.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You know who's good at writing hooks? Rivers. It's too bad.
Rivers Cuomo?
Yeah.
Or Mark Rivers, who was also really good at
Mark
writing
Rivers
hooks.
Is really good at hooks. But like the thing that I think, if you think back to all your times with the Weezers.
with all of the Weezers?
It's just
Weezer.
Yeah. What he's really good at is a vocal hook.
Yeah.
Like Island of the Sun, hip, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like a little vocal.
Or We're All Stars Now
in the dope show. Yeah.
No, yeah. That's a different Weezer.
Oh, see, hey, that's a Giza.
That's a Giza.
Yeah. That it's a
Hashtag old bands, Geezer, go. Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
Hey,
we just taped the show.
Wrong meeting.
Oh, fuck, sorry. You know, I'm sitting at a table with a bunch of comics, and I just don't know which thing I'm supposed to be writing.
You're just on all cylinders.
Yeah, man, I'm firing. Give me an object. I'll turn it into another thing and make a joke out of it.
You're firing on three or six cylinders. Immediately just went to blow the microphone.
Yeah.
All right.
I was proud.
Years ago, I was talking to a girl, and she was talking about like going to see Weezer. And I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to those shows where they're going to, you know, just play the Blue Album and Pinkerton all the way through. And then she's like, oh, you're one of those Weezer fans. I was like, ooh. What do you mean? A Weezer fan? And she's like, no, it's like I've heard there's like older guys. And I was like 27 at the time.
Way more insulting.
I was 27. And she's like, older guys that just, you know, don't like anything that happened after the Green Album. I was like, the Green Album was like the fucking see you later. There's nothing after that worth
listening. Oh, you know what?
To.
I don't...
Maladroit?
I don't dislike the Green Album.
No. In retrospect...
Oh,
totally
sure.
Fine.
Well, here, I'll say this. I think that their best song since the Green Album. Was it the Green Album then Maladroit?
Yes.
Okay, I'll say their best album since Maladroit. Their best song since Maladroit, I think, is If You Want Me To, which is...
Oh, if you're wondering if I
Girl,
want you
yeah.
to, I want you to.
Yeah. I think that's a really good, upbeat kind of a song.
I like the Fonzie song.
Two albums ago. but I like that song. I think that's a good song.
Yeah. But doesn't it sound like someone doing a Weezer song? Doesn't that, like, it sounds like someone's doing, like...
That, not so much. That one sounds like they just said, sure, Rivers. Sure.
That's the one they said sure to?
Well... The last four decades.
Like Ratitude. That was, man, that was
Ratitude,
good.
Pork
Red
and
album.
Beans was the single on that. The Red Album.
Make Believe was just...
Is complete. The Red Album the one that...
Where was
has
Hash
If You
Pipe?
Want
what
Me
is
To?
That from?
Hash Pipe is
Hash is Green Album.
Album.
Yeah.
Hash Pipe is Green Album.
Yeah. And, you know, just... There's songs, I'm sure, in every album. Like, just... That's the same thing I say about, like, you know, Stone Temple Pilots. It's like they don't... They're not a good band, but, like, yeah, they got some good songs here and there.
Yeah.
They got some. The Weezer was a part of that new wave, not new wave. It was part of the new wave of cardigan rock, where it was just like the young kids would put on the cardigans.
Well, they, yeah.
just
they
like
sort
just
of,
like the Kurt Cobains.
Yeah, they sort of were the cardigan rock, I think. Like,
not to be confused with the cardigans.
Yeah, but it was like it was MTV's version of college rock.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like they're not going to put the Pixies on TV because none of them are good looking, but they'll put Weezer on.
Because they're adorable.
They're adorable.
Somewhere I have a stack of old carts, which are sort of like 8-tracks that from radio, like
what
in the older days of radio. Mm-hmm. And I have a box full of people doing station IDs for me when I worked at K-Rock. And one of them was Matt and Pat from Weezer. And they do this whole ridiculous improvised song, which, by the way, I'm sure they did it a million times for everyone else. two and just inserted their names, but it's like this, my name is Matt, my name is Pat, oh, we're from Weezer, Chris Hardwick is your host today. Like, it's one of those.
That's fun.
My other favorite one was Bjork.
This is Bjork, and you're listening to Chris Hardwick on the world famous K-Rock.
How many times did you jerk off to that?
I want to listen to that. I'm
doing it now.
And yeah, find out that it's just Chris doing that in the studio.
Oh, thanks for coming in, Bjork.
It is my pleasure. If you ever get close to
Chris,
a human,
I think you look great with your hair trip.
Would you put on this bear head? And let's go swimming with the mermaids. Hmm. I mean the DVD copy of Mermaids with Winona Ryder. Chair.
What do you intend to do with those?
I don't know. I want to get them transferred.
Transfer them, throw it out, right?
Yeah, okay. But I don't know if they're still any good. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a degradation that happens to those, right?
They're taped.
Yeah.
So if they're affected by temperature or moisture or whatever, it can totally fuck them up. They've been in a box. I just don't. I'd have
Plus
to find.
Plus that Bjork one you came on so many times.
Well, I came on the covering of it, the tape inside should have been fine.
Good.
I mean, I tried to, you know, squeeze in there a little bit.
You should have unrolled the tape and started wrapping it around your dick.
No. You wrap it around your throat so you can get that autoerotic asphyxiation going on.
That's right. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. While watching Dancer in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bjork is the sound you make when you're choke coming.
Bjork. Hey, give it up for that. That was great. You stonewall that.
Thank you for audience warming up, Matt.
Hey, come on. Oh, that was great.
That's right before I shoot my sugar cubes. Come on, guys. What?
Yeah, gling glow.
Glinglo.
That's a deep cut.
Glinglo.
Glinglo is great.
Yeah. It's just that one album, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Glinglo was just her and that, like, that was like a four piece, you know.
Yeah.
A cocktail band.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, definitely. I liked it.
Who did I hear? Someone I heard on Sirius did a cover of that, the Sugar Cube song. The hey, it's like the birthday.
Who did
the cover of that? I don't know.
Oh, it's probably just something they play on Sirius. Like they came into the fishbowl one day and we got them to record this.
I love those AV Club Undercover. Do you ever watch
it? Yeah, when they cover
them. God, I love those.
I heard somebody the other day doing a cover of Smashing Pumpkins 1979, which was pretty good. It was more upbeat. I don't remember. That's the thing. That's the problem with these things. I'm sure Jake Fogelnest will know. I feel like he might have played it.
Hey, Matt, settle down.
I'm sorry.
You got to warm him up better, Jonah. You know, I'm coming into a cold room here. You know, Matt needs to be warmed up before I come in here.
I told him he's great.
Who, me?
I know, but he doesn't.
He never said that.
Yeah.
So,
D and I thinking about taking a trip
to Ojai.
Thinking about Japan.
Oh, you should go to Japan.
Is that different than Japan?
What?
You said Japan.
Japan.
You should go to Japan. You guys would love it.
Yeah.
Do that.
No.
I'm afraid you'll never come back if you go to Japan.
I don't know. It seems a bit over. Because you know me, I don't like hectic cities. And so.
If you think Jonah is tall here.
Well, yeah, you realize they're going to send jet fighters to take you down because they're afraid you're going to be destroying the city.
That's racist and offensive to me.
No, it's not.
most of the architecture in Hawaii was made for Japanese.
What's wrong, Jonah? There aren't enough beer and underwear vending machines here in the United States.
I'm looking for more for my collection. No, just like because we did Europe on the last trip, and then we want to try, I've never been to Japan. I want to see temples and stuff. I want to see more of the rural stuff. And sure, I want to go to the robot fighting bars and casinos.
Try and plan it if you can during the big earthquake.
Ooh.
Yeah, during that.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming.
I could either stay here and have a staycation earthquake.
That'd be awesome.
But that's it. So because I started going on Airbnb and just looking at like different neighborhoods, and it's just
in Tokyo, huh?
Yeah.
Or, I suppose anywhere really in Japan.
Yeah, well, it's like there's all the it's neat. Airbnb does a good job of just kind of like you'll put in a city, and they'll be like which part of the city, and then you just kind of like. Touristy or walkable stuff or restaurants.
Walkable.
And right now, if you enter the promo code, no wait, they're actually not sponsoring us.
Have they ever?
No, they should though.
Do they?
Should.
I don't think they care.
You know what? They should because
we could totally, like, when we go perform in another city, we can be like, and you can use Airbnb if you want to come in town.
Yeah.
How do you, I've never used it. Have you both used it?
I almost used it once in Portland.
Okay, but you haven't used it.
No, but the only reason that I didn't is because I found out, I thought I was renting a house, and it turned out I was just renting a part of a house.
Yeah, you gotta click the really full look. Place. So, you must have felt like you're getting a fucking great deal.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's fantastic. Oh, there's other people? Yeah.
Can't you just buy Portland?
Yeah. Pieces of it, yeah. Oh, sure. It's very inexpensive.
John, how's it? Explain to me, who's never used it before. So you're renting someone's house. Someone's apartment.
You can rent someone's room. You can rent someone's guest house.
Okay, room and guest house, some sort of like more.
You can set this. Yeah. So you can filter search results.
But here's the thing. Here's my question for you. You say you rent someone's house.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get their key?
Oh, you set it up with them. You're in contact with them, and you it's all like planned specifically for that person. Like one time when we stayed in Brooklyn, the person just left the key at the bodega on the corner. So we went, we're like, hey, we're Joan and Deanna. And they're like, oh, okay, here you go. And they go back and they give you the key and then you go in and get in.
But a lot of times they want to meet you so they can decide whether or not to turn on their streaming camera so they can watch you jerk off when you're not aware.
It's true.
Is that a thing?
Always want to turn it on for me.
do you ever worry about that?
It's really beautiful.
We're going to someone's house. What if there's like a weird camera somewhere?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm good at
I would be okay. Like, it's cameras. Like, you know, as much as for their protection as it is for mine.
You
know?
You don't want anyone to see you throwing the D to the D.
That's true. It's true.
Day to day.
But sometimes you just go there and you say, hey, I'm going to be showing up around this time. And then you get the key from them personally. Mm-hmm. And then you go, and then they'll just be ready to go, or they'll just meet you there and give you the key.
What do they do? What do they do when this
A
happens?
Lot of people. So when we stayed in Shoreditch in London, the guy was just, he would just stay with his girlfriend.
That's cool.
And he would just make like extra money that way. He would stay with his girlfriend or other people.
Other people are just like rental properties.
Also, you just
I feel
don't.
Like I'm inconveniencing whoever I'm going.
No,
to
No, you're paying the money
for it, though. They sign up for it. I mean, it's and you can stay. I mean, there's like good places that you can stay in for like, you know, $50 or $100 a night, as opposed to, you know, $200 or $300 a night in a hotel.
And it's you know, the app is really great, and it's just, I don't know.
Damn, they should sponsor this podcast. They should. Kind of are. We're just not getting anything.
It's like, you know, you open up the front page, and it just will show you all these crazy fantasy places you can stay at.
Fantasy
like
places.
Like Jim Morrison homes.
Oh, Jim Morrison homes.
Homes of famous painters.
So you're just staying everywhere on Laurel Canyon.
Houses of famous
ironically
painters.
Ironically, that house has no doors.
Wait.
Come on, guys.
Bungalow Japon in the rice fields.
Should have warmed up the crowd.
Yeah. Underground
homes.
You
can't blame everything on that, Chris.
He was in a band called The Doors.
See, there's like there's one in Chia, Colorado.
I'm going to leave this room.
What was your joke today? That was
walk
very...
on down the hall.
By the way.
Jonah, I want to kill you.
You were right on the enlightening joke. You should have gotten way more for that.
I should have gotten way more for that. Well, we should. I had a joke on the Emmy night today that Doug Benson would say laid an egg, which is we showed this GIF of and we had people predict what was going to happen at the end of the GIF, and it was Dalai Lama, and at the end of the GIF someone has After Effects like lasers shooting out of his eyes.
Yeah.
And I said, you're enlightened now, or something like, you know.
That is technically the definition.
That's technically the definition of being enlightened. And yeah. Nothing.
Huh.
Much like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about the...
No, I like the joke. I guess,
give him something. Don't stonewall him on that.
I didn't stonewall him. I laughed when you guys...
Why didn't you warm up Jonah before I got here, man? I'm just going to play Pong back and forth. Yeah. Like, why didn't you warm up each other?
I like that joke.
Yeah, I think that's a wit as shit. I think that's a wit as shit, funny as money kind of a joke.
Yeah, well,
doesn't matter.
I
still think
you should have gotten a little bit more respect.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you can... You know, it is one of those things where it's... It's clever, so you would have to either like play it up for that.
You
like,
know what I
like,
would have needed?
Now, I didn't know what that's what enlightened me. You know
the problem
like
you know what that.
That
joke needed? A British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I call enlightenment. Like fucking, they would have carried me out of the room.
Well.
If I'd been on QI,
yeah.
Said that.
Yes, had you been on QI, you needed to be in England. As we've learned, English accents don't do well on our show. Or Australian accents.
No, they do fine.
No, wait, sorry. Reese was New Zealand.
Yeah, he did great.
He was fucking awesome, but I feel like the crowd didn't give him nearly what he deserved.
I'm
an adventurer, Chris.
I thought they did. I totally thought they did.
Maybe I just thought he was so much funnier than they did. Like, I was dying laughing at him.
You love an accent, though.
I love
Rhys Darby makes me laugh so fucking hard.
And the fact that he just was playing up the entire episode as though he was an adventurer who stumbled into the show.
Yeah. Is this the internet?
Yeah, he's like, I'm an adventurer, Chris.
I want to point out, I'm not a comedian. I'm an adventurer.
Did he do any sounds?
No.
He might have.
Did you see him, Rhys Darby?
Do you mind? I booked a gig.
Rhys Darby and Michael Winslow are doing a sound effects comedy show at SF Sketchfest.
Are you fucking
kidding?
When is
that? Did it already happen?
I don't know. You got to look at the schedule. I just remember seeing it. I know it wasn't when I was.
Shit.
I'm going to be there, so I just kind of.
We need to cancel
everything and go watch that.
Yeah. It's like the Kings of Sound Effect Comedy.
The Kings of Sound Effect Comedy.
I'm not sure if that's what it's called, but it should be.
Jesus, I'd go see that.
Yeah.
I'd go see Jesus do comedy.
Now I'm Eliza.
I remember the first time because I loved him so much on Fly the Conchords, and I was like, I'm gonna see what this guy's stand up's all about. And he's just like, yeah, jetpack. And I was like, oh, it's funny. He's like making fun of sound effect comics. He's still doing set. So an hour of sound effects. Good sound effects. And
that's
he's very
fantastic.
Funny.
But I can't. Oh man, I don't think that's the weekend we're there. And we're running around doing shows.
I've never talked to anyone who saw Michael Winslow in college and didn't love it.
Oh, I bet he was great.
I saw when I was in middle school. I saw Carrot Top perform. It was fucking crazy awesome. This was a lot of fun. I made things that look like other things. And made a joke about it.
Carrot Top. I think the poor guy just got a shitty rap because his name's Carrot Top.
Yeah, I think so. I think he too much of a character. But like the things he makes are they're just jokes.
He's delightful.
He just makes physical jokes is all they are.
I think a lot of people gave him shit just because his name sounded like a punchline without really saying whether or not
Chris, his face didn't help.
Well, you mean after he got all buff?
Is that what happened?
Oh yeah, man.
You know that's what happened.
He got super ripped.
I feel like his face was never the best.
No,
was he a comedian?
What do you look for in a comedian?
I like a square jawline.
He's got a square jawline now from all the weights.
Oh.
Yes.
I feel like you look like not as much of a... Jonah looks more like a comedian than you do.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Hey.
What? Listen, I would...
I set up the fact. I set up the reality. Don't say it back.
He's so funny because he looks like that.
I know.
Everything comes
if he didn't, it wouldn't be funny.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. Look at him take a drink of that water.
He drinks funny.
Stop making fun of it.
Visual comedy on a podcast.
Oh, my God. I did Friday night. I went to...
Friday Night Lights.
I did not go to Friday
nice
Night Live.
Association, Matt.
Thank you, Jonah.
Association you. Cherishes the word. That's a meta association. That one wasn't free, though. Sorry. What? What happened?
Can't keep up?
What happened? Up!
Oh, Pixar's
I'm
up!
I'm in a house in a balloon.
Describing the plot to Up?
Yes.
This is dogs.
Oh, there's a house above a place, an old man.
little fat boy.
Little fat boy.
Dog's cock.
What was that last one?
Dog's talk.
Okay, good. Did you say dog's cock?
Dog's talk.
Oh, dog's talk.
And dog's cock. Dog's talk.
Well, he would say dog's cock, right?
I hadn't been to the improv since I haven't been to the improv in like a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, it's all.
So I hadn't been like a year and a half. Chloe went to a convention over the weekend in Portland. And so Friday night, I found myself with just like, oh, I don't know. I don't feel like sitting at home. So I just, called the improv and go, can I jump on tonight? And I texted you and said, you want to go? And you got sick. But. but I
Weird,
went.
I was,
and it was like the fucking old day. It was like. It was amazing. First of all, they've completely redone the improv.
Yeah, they have that new lounge.
There's a lounge, and then they're opening a restaurant in front.
Yeah.
That, I think the thinking is this gourmet barbecue place is going to bring in... I don't know if that's the comedy audience that's going to go get the gourmet barbecue food, but it looks good.
Bring in even more confused
patrons. But it's really nice inside. It's really, really nice inside. And so I hopped on the 10 o'clock show, but I got there at the tail end of the 8 o'clock show, which was Jackie Cation... Chip Pope, Howard Kramer, Laura House, Jennifer McLean.
Jennifer McLean?
Yes, Aaron Lee was there.
Oh, Aaron Lee.
And then the 10 o'clock show was me and Morgan Murphy and April Richardson.
Oh, fun.
And then this really funny British comic who, when he was on stage, I was like, I feel like he's probably more famous in England than here. And he was really funny.
What was his name?
Jack Whitehall.
Sounds familiar?
Well, he's... I looked him up on Twitter. He's got like 2.5 million followers, and he was tweeting about how his tickets just went on sale for the O2.
Like, oh, shit.
Oh, okay, okay. He isn't... And he's also like 24 years old.
Yeah.
But I got the sneaking suspicion because I saw... I guess we have the same agent, so I saw a bunch of guys from CAA there. I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What are these guys doing here?
Like, here to see you, Chris.
Oh, why did you leave before my set? Oh, well, I saw you. I
gotta go.
I gotta go now.
What's the problem?
But he was great, and room was packed. It was a Jeremy Burke show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's that one?
Refried Fridays.
It's not Refried Fridays. Loud Village. But the room was packed. The show was great, and it was super, super fun. So now I feel like I want to do more drop-ins at the Improv. Well,
yeah, they're doing a lot of good stuff there. The guys there have been really making an effort to have different types of shows and giving people nights to do whatever they want.
Yeah. Like Allie and George are doing their podcast there tomorrow.
It used to be a really great room to go to, and then it kind of went through this period where it wasn't like – it kind of fallen into
– I didn't really know what it was doing.
And – what, like, I think
2004, like 2002, 2003, 2004, it was really cool. They would basically just theme comics, like theme. Mm. So, like, the early show on the weekends would be like more road comics, and the late shows would be more alternative comics. And so, I don't know, it just like felt like there was a reason to hang out there, like clubs, all your friends were there. And
yeah,
stuff, like
no,
clubhouse.
I did a show there recently. It was Brendan Small had a night, and he had a band with him, like really talented guys. And, you know, he was doing songs with them. And then, like, I went up and, like, did, you know, bits with all the different, you know, members of the band, and then, like, did a song at the end of it. It was a lot of fun. That's awesome. He did Captain Mustache.
Yeah,
fries.
That's fantastic. We should do more shows at the Improv. I mean, only of course when the Nerd Melt showroom is sold out.
Of course,
you know, then you want to go over.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. So Wednesday nights, right? We're all free.
God damn it.
I saw a documentary.
Yeah, you did.
Good old Frida. Anyone watch that yet?
Oh, you know, it's popping up, and it's telling me to watch.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. No. It's about the Beatles' secretary. She's like the one person that like never decided to make money off of her association with the Beatles. She's still a secretary. But it's just all about her and just how she was a fan, seeing him in the that place? The cavern. Yeah. She would just see him all the time, and then the fifth Beatle.
Pete Best.
Nope.
Stu Sutcliffe.
Nope.
Brian Epstein?
Yes.
George Martin.
Epstein. Sorry.
Brian Epstein. Their manager, yes.
He's like, hey, we need a secretary for the office. Would you want to do it? She's like, sure. And so it's like the whole story of her and going through like the years of the Beatles.
That's
and
cool.
How the work just she for the fan club. She didn't really think about it when she put down the address for the fan club mail. So she put her home address.
Oh no!
And her and it was like the first week, like they got like, you know, like 40 pieces of mail, and her dad freaked out.
And then
it gets like
he died under a pile of mail.
Yeah.
Like he's still there,
and he was a bit right to be concerned because like he's like I don't know where the bills are amongst all this other mail.
Also, people probably just showed up.
No, they didn't have any stories of that happening.
No, well,
also,
I don't watch it then.
If you can't find the bills in 1964, you can't pay the bills.
Yeah, you can't go on your.
You couldn't just go online.
Yeah.
No, couldn't do it. Couldn't they had modems? Call them? No,
modems?
Couldn't do that either.
This funny is I just on our obscure media. I just found this. This 3.5 minute documentary from the 70s. Well, not a documentary. It's more like a news piece about the dangers of platform shoes. And they're going around to all these British people. It was just like,
well, personally, I don't think they're safe at all. You know, it's like has Lauren seen these?
They're fashionable, aren't they? They're fashionable, you know. I'm going to show it to Chloe because she loves wearing giant. She likes to pretend that she's taller than I am. And if she were, I'd be fine with that.
By
but
the
she's
way,
not
alarmingly not taller than Chris.
Yeah, she's like she's an inch shorter.
Is she?
Like when I saw her going through security, like I don't know where the fuck we were, but I was like,
she's like five.
What happened?
She's like 5'9".
Wow.
But her heels would make you think, lead you to believe that she's like 6 feet tall.
I don't like heels.
I don't even think
you don't
she's
have to
5'9".
Wear them.
No, I know, but I don't like seeing a girl, and I just feel bad.
Oh my god, it was. So...
She can't walk in flat. She cannot walk in flat shoes very well. She's so used to heels, she cannot.
I was.
That's gonna like cause problems later in life, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
I was.
That's the oh yeah of like oh I've had the conversation.
I was
spine problems, internal organ problems, foot problems.
I was in Pasadena over the weekend at the Have you ever been to the Himalayan restaurant in Pasadena?
No,
it's like off Colorado Boulevard.
Everything is off Colorado Boulevard.
Yeah, good point. It was on Fair Oaks.
Local jokes get you.
Local work.
But Allie Ward and I were there, and I looked out the window, and there were seven girls that might have been 20 to 25 years old, all in stilettos, but in jeans and like looking incredibly uncomfortable, all going into Volcano.
Oh, that's funny.
It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And then there was one that was in flats, who was like way more comfortable and in the lead and like just like the leader.
Not
of the
having
group.
It.
She was like, I don't want to.
They're having
room.
A night.
They
look having
so,
a night out in Pasadena.
I just don't understand it. Like, I don't know how. I don't know how people walk in those. I don't get it.
We don't have to. You don't have to.
I don't get it. I get uncomfortable when I put like a heel on, like a boot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Unless it's like a Cole Haan, which makes a nice sole.
I think we should bring back the Captain Fantastic platform shoes. They look like, you know, just regular shoes, but then like, you know, giant platforms. What you probably don't need that, Jonah.
No. Well, if there's some kind of shoe that can drive itself into the earth more so, so I can just be shorter wherever I go.
Would you, do you want to be shorter, though?
I want to be 2 inches shorter. That's not, I'm not asking for much. I just, like, you know, since I started, like, you know, working out and trying to get in shape, like, I stand up a bit straighter now, and now I've realized that I hit my head on most doorways.
And you're going to Japan.
Japan, where it's going to be real obvious.
Robert Downey Jr., he had the this, you know, the company that makes lifts for your shoes. He wears a 3-inch lift when he's doing. It's Tony Stark.
Really?
Yeah. 3-inch lift in the shoe. It's the biggest lift they make.
Wow. How tall is he?
You can order it on Amazon. I think he's 5'8", 5'9".
Really?
Yeah.
So he's got to be at least 6 feet tall to be Tony Stark.
Well, he doesn't have to, but that's what he likes to do. Because, I mean, when you're standing around like Mark Ruffalo and like, you know, other people in that movie are tall.
And Chris, you're just Evans, staring at them because they're so
tall. Yeah, you're like, oh my God, that's Tim Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston?
Tom. Who's Tim?
Tim Hoddleston.
There you go.
Tim Hiddleston is Tom Hiddleston.
Tim Hiddleston.
Monstrous adopted brother.
Is, I don't know. I've only seen the one movie with him in it. Which? Avengers.
The one movie.
I've never
like
seen.
One of the biggest.
I haven't seen the Thors.
He's great. Hiddleston's great.
He's the best part of the Thors.
He really is.
Yeah. I haven't seen the Thors. I haven't seen the Captain America. There's two of those now? One of those?
Yeah, there's Captain North America and Captain South America.
Yeah. Captain Central America. It's just a short film.
What else haven't I seen?
It got rid of all of its special skills to focus on education.
Are there other Marvel movies I haven't seen?
That was a good sociopolitical joke that sailed by everyone. Costa Rica got rid of its military budget to focus on education.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd it work out?
Well, they're educated people. I guess it worked out pretty well.
That's pretty good.
Did it?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I've been there. It's nice.
Okay.
You should go.
I can't.
Why?
I have to stay here.
Oh.
What if another Thor comes out?
You won't see it.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, it'd be totally fine. When are you going to go to Japan?
I don't know. We're trying to think of maybe do like early April.
Nice.
So that's when Dee's done working on Cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she's working on the Neil deGrasse Tyson Cosmos program.
Has been for a while. Yeah,
she's never mentioned this to me.
She plays Planet Saturn.
Yes.
So she puts on a
she's
ring.
Just this
like,
big. You know, and she goes, oh,
I have so many moons.
So she.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She's
Jonah, of course, is a gas giant. Come on, you motherfucker!
Ask the wife. It's true, ask the wife. Boy, it can't help from fun.
I'm not solid matter. Yeah. Space jokes.
Yeah.
Spacey space sure jokes. Yeah. I think that'll be really great. I'm jealous.
Are you, though?
I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Reykjavik.
I thought you were jealous.
You know what? We've been talking about
Cosmos.
Going to Reykjavik.
It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, there's a friend of ours, Sam and Aaron. They went to Iceland, and there's this like hot springs,
Sputnik,
that you can go to, and it's just we looked at pictures. It's a whole spa place that's around these hot springs, and it's just turquoise blue water surrounded by ice that you just get in and just like chill out.
I've seen that.
Yeah, it looks incredible, and it's apparently not that expensive.
We Chloe and a bunch of her friends went to this Korean spa a couple weeks ago called We Spa.
Oh, yeah. Emily We're loves familiar. That place.
Emily
yeah.
loves it. Pete Holmes is a big fan.
He is a big fan?
Yeah.
This is surprising to me. I went, and it was awesome. Like, there's a floor where you just sort of chill out in your Wii Spa suit, which are, like, shorts and a T-shirt, and then you can
just go, get me a terry cloth.
You can roll around in hot rocks and stuff, and the food's really good.
Powder blue terry cloth.
But there's so much dong in the men's room. Like, just dudes just fucking...
Donging it out.
Donging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just like every kind of person naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old men, kids, people, just so comfortable with just being. And I don't.
Have you not been in a sauna? I mean, that's pretty much what it's like in a sauna.
Yeah, but I don't fucking.
Or a Russian bath?
I don't take it out.
It's Russian baths too.
But isn't it the Turkish bath?
Yeah, it is a Turkish bath.
There's probably some Russian ones, too.
I'm sure there is. There's one on fucking Santa Monica Boulevard.
No, listen. James Bond has a fight in one in a Russian bath, so you're right. Okay? You're right, Joe. I just want you to know that. You're not wrong. Sorry we shut you down.
Yeah. I just said there's also
Sorry
probably...
We I was on your side.
To be fair, Joni, your tone was entirely informational.
Oh, fuck.
I just don't feel comfortable in the with just the widespread nudity.
Yeah, but yeah, if everybody's dicks out, then what do you got to be uncomfortable about?
It's not that I'm uncomfortable. It is that I'm uncomfortable. I don't know. I just feel weird about it.
I don't dig it.
I don't care.
I don't dig it either.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm gross. Look at me if you want. It's like, God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I just don't want to get everybody hard, you know, looking at this body.
Yeah.
And fucking,
are you being me or are you being you?
I'm being some fictional guy.
You know how embarrassed I'll be if I'm walking in the locker room naked and some guy just walks by and goes, points. Like, I'll be so embarrassed.
No one in there has seen At Midnight, I guarantee you.
You know, I always worry about, like, walking around naked in one of those places, and the guy goes, it is in the back. How would you, Bruce, why Connor. Would you even, God. Andy Kindler, why would you?
Your dick is in the back. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know. There's a certain type of dude who's just, like, grew up in, I don't know. When I was in grade school, it was not really a thing to, like, gym class was not, you know, like, there was not a lot of nudity in the...
We were on a Boy Scout trip in Gettysburg, Virginia.
Are you about to reveal something really crazy?
Well, it could have been, had I decided, like, it was just, like, we had to, like, we were at the Y, and we had to shower at the Y, because we were staying on a campground.
4 and 7 dogs.
So we all had to shower on the Y, at the Y, and then, like... I was just like, conceptually, I was so confused by the fact that the adult males were just going for it. Like, they were just naked. Showering.
Around all the kids?
Around all the kids.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that's
I was
weird.
Like, this is crazy. And then my dad was one of the scout leaders. And then he's like, well, everybody else is dead. He's like, I was in the army. I don't care. So then he goes ahead, drops trow. And then I go, well, I'm going to go because I have no desire to see your weird penis. I assume it's weird. I never got
to see
it.
Okay, good.
You ever saw your dad's dick?
I avoided that. Oh, why would I want to see that?
No, it's not that you want it. It's just that you end up doing it as you're growing up.
I didn't.
You never saw your dad's dick.
It's in your mouth. Come on. You guys, that wasn't necessary. That wasn't necessary. I don't know why I said that.
That was completely Nessa.
No.
Don't tell me.
No, it was not Nessa. It was Nessa. No. I didn't. To be fair, it could have been in your butt. I don't know why I'm making these shows.
You can turn around that much.
I mean, seriously.
That is genuinely...
Stonewall with that dad putting the dick in your mouth, Joe?
This is fucking General Stonewall over here.
I didn't like it. I don't like what you insinuated. I didn't like the image.
Yeah, but if you just take you out of the equation...
No, sir, I don't
it's
like
my
it.
Dad with a dick in someone else's mouth.
Yeah.
There's no part of the equation I like.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, listen, the Joker likes it. Listen to Kyle. You did a Joker cackle there a second ago. Yeah. You're supposed to stop laughing
that
and
was
say
that was the Joker's like underling. You got him, boss.
The Batman. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're
anyway,
so please,
no, it was,
please continue
my story
your
was
story.
That it was I thought it was a crazy situation.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember how. I might have been 12, 13. This is like 96, 95. And I avoided the whole thing. And I just was like, I gotta
I don't blame you.
I gotta not be over
Last
here.
Time I was in a you know, locker room shower, I was probably 5 years old, and I slipped on some soap and just went right back and knocked my head on the floor.
Oh, God.
The back of my head's like fucked up now because of it. It's like, if you feel it, it's just
really?
Like.
Is it really?
Yeah, you want to feel it? There's. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
I do. Oh, my God. Jonah, that's not good.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's from falling when you were five?
Yeah. Just crack.
Do you think that's from falling when you were five, or is it like.
Being dropped.
Just like a thing that happened before you were five, and you just associated the two incidents?
Don't remember it being there.
Well, you never would have felt the back of your head like that.
You don't touch your body?
Well, I do, obviously, in the privacy of my own home. But, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
If you ever shave your head, is there going to be like
a... No, it doesn't, like, the skin goes over it.
Oh, okay.
Like, the one time I shaved my head, like, it doesn't, you can't see it.
When did you shave your head?
I was still in high school.
You shaved your head?
I did it once, yeah. I'll never do it again.
Really? How come?
Divots. I look like
Is your head a pitch and putt?
I go from being, reasonably normal looking to if I shave my head.
What are we talking about here?
Face. Just my face.
Okay.
I don't.
That's why, I don't shave my head because I'm a big guy and like you just immediately, Kyle probably attests. It's like you shave your head when you're a big guy and you're just like, oh, look at this bruiser. That's why I don't wear boots.
Like, it's like, here's my thing that's weirding me out. Like, I feel like as I lose the weight, my head's staying the same size. Like, I feel like my head is fucking enormous. And it's terrifying.
That's what's funny. Asterios Kokonos was just saying that. He's like, I've lost so much weight. And it's the only thing that is revealed is that I have a fat face.
But your face doesn't look as round to me.
My face is not. I mean, it's not as round, but I feel like my head's fucking huge.
You just have a... head.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's still a size 8. I still have a fucking size 8, which is the biggest fitted hat you can get.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
I think it'll all even out. It doesn't look
Once
that way.
Once you go through puberty.
Guys, seriously. I'm crossing my fingers for a bigger dick.
What? In your mouth?
Oh, that gets bigger too when you lose weight. That's a fun part.
Yeah.
No one tells you that.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it gets bigger. Yeah.
When you lose weight, it just starts to seem bigger.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, buddy.
But it's all just like because
or,
of
or like does some of the weight just like leak
no,
into
No, it's perspective.
It's perspective. I mean, obviously it's like, I always describe it as like, if you shove a pole in the ground and start filling dirt around it, of course the pole's going to look smaller.
So it's like the same amount of tonnage, but just a different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get deeper.
So
in your... dad.
Not mine. Know. You'd have to have a shovel.
That was the weirdest kind
I can
of
make those jokes. He's my dad, and I can make dad jokes if I want
to. First of all, if I were to exhume your father, I would use a backhoe.
Yeah. Oh, my God, and he's the guy that would know how to do it.
Yeah.
Has anyone started watching Helix yet?
No.
I want to see Helix. I want to see... I haven't watched True Detective yet.
They sent that to me on the DVD.
On
the DVD? Watching True Detective.
Digital versatile disc.
Yes. And also, a friend of mine has a copy of Alpha Papa, the Alan Partridge movie.
Oh, nice.
And apparently it's just nonstop one of the funniest movies ever.
God damn it. When does that come out?
In America, I think it comes out like in the summer.
Oh, there's no release date yet.
But it's out in England, so I think you can get if you have the all-region player.
And the other thing I'm looking forward to is Long Way Down, the Nick Hornby book they've turned into a movie. Aaron Paul's in it, Pierce Brosnan's in
it. Oh, yeah.
It's done. The movie's done. I think it's coming out in England. There's no release date here yet.
That boing you heard was Kyle getting a boner.
I love Nick Hornby.
I know. I just saw your
I love Nick Hornby, too.
That book's so good.
That book's all right. That book is an exercise in him going, like, look at how many narrative structures I can write in one book. He does. That's his thing.
What'd you think of that Ben Folds Nick Hornby collaboration? Collabo.
It's good. It's good. But the thing with Nick Hornby, his little trick is he did this thing where, like, he wrote Fever Pitch, which is his own narrative. It's his memoir. Then he writes High Fidelity, which is my favorite book and my favorite movie, which is great. It's all from Rob's point of view. No problem.
Top five Nick Hornby movies.
You could do that if you wanted to. I like the Colin Firth Fever Pitch.
Mm-hmm.
The Jimmy Fallon one is
number two.
I can't even get down.
Oh, okay.
I can't even get down far enough. But the
Wait, Jimmy Fallon, the TV show host.
Yeah, TV show host.
Drew Barrymore did a Fever Pitch movie called Fever Pitch.
Yeah,
he was an actor.
The actor? I suppose Jane Wyman was the gold star.
I suppose Jane Wyman was his announcer. But yeah, and then he does this thing in about a boy, which is now turned into a TV show on NBC, which was a good movie with Hugh Grant, not Hugh Jackman, where he does the narrative of a 12-year-old and the narrative of the Hugh Grant character. Then what he does is How to Be Good, which is about a couple that's going through some shit, and then he does a couple narratives there. But then in A Long Way Down, it's four different people from four different walks of life, and it's each, you know, every chapter flips who's telling the story.
One of those.
He's like, he likes to sort of go like, look, I can write like I'm a 16-year-old girl. And then he did this thing, he did Slammed, which is a young adult novel, which is why you can't find it if you look in the regular Nick Hornby section, where he does the whole thing as like a 13-year-old kid, something like that. But anyway, he does that a lot. That's what he likes to
do. You're listening to Nickheads, the Nick Hornby podcast.
Jared Grody, who's all about Nick Hornby, great comic and writer in Los Angeles, he wrote this thing called, I think it was Sarah Ching's blog.
Yeah, where it's from the point of view of a 16-year-old Asian girl.
Yeah, and it's at first it's like really cutesy and just all these, you know, things she's posting about stuff. And then slowly she's like starts talking about how her friends are getting into some weird stuff, and then it becomes this really intense, dark story about like her friends getting her involved in this kind of drug situation, and one of the friends. It's just this incredible thing.
Yeah. Jared Grody's a fucking great writer.
Yeah,
really funny. I used to love watching him do stand up, but he just doesn't really do it anymore.
No. He's so funny.
People who buy Britney Spears albums are basically saying money is too heavy to have a lot of.
Cadillac, dinosaurs in the tank and behind the wheel.
I just got my mom a Cadillac.
Oh yeah, I saw her driving out. She said,
"Yeah,
hi."
So she's a dinosaur?
Oh,
what'd you get her?
You're gonna try to have sex with her the way Matt's gonna have sex with my deceased father?
Whoa! If we're picking,
oh, I see, a parent for each sister wife.
If we're picking, I'll take your mom.
Oh, okay. All right.
You take that, bro?
I'm not gonna take it. He called shotgun.
Yep. What'd you get her? Okay, the SRX.
The SRX.
That's great.
She loves it.
It's a good car.
SRX. That's the way to go. What color? She likes white. I do not particularly like white on a car, but she loved this like pearly
white on a car. I like white on a car.
Yeah,
it's a good. It's good. It's clean.
It's clean, nice. Looking. It's nice and clean. Yeah,
it's the in color right now for cars.
Yeah.
What kind of car are you gonna buy your mom?
Oh, I don't know. One that works, probably.
Yeah.
You know what? Oh, speaking of cars, I just got a title in the mail.
Congratulations on owning the Honda.
Yeah. 5 years.
You know what it's time to do? Get into some more debt. Come on, man.
Yeah. It is a weird feeling, though, that just that monthly...
It's gone.
Bill, just gone. Now I own the thing.
Yeah.
Now I'm waiting for it to break. I'm waiting for it to just start falling apart. But it's a Honda, so it'll be fine.
You're gonna hang on to it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
I always think about you when I think about... You know how I always like to get a new car every couple years or whatever, mm-hmm. which is completely unnecessary, and I shouldn't probably do that. But then I always think about you with the Honda, and I go, I bet Jonah's just going to drive that Honda. He's fucking fine.
It's a great car.
It's a great car. I love it. It runs well. It fits me.
He's happy.
I enjoy it.
Why can't we be happy like Jonah?
I am mostly happy. It's just when it comes to cars, it's just fun to have to drive a new car every couple of years.
No. Don't get me wrong. I'll see like a Volkswagen or something like that.
Aim high.
Yeah. To me, that is high, Chris. Thanks for making me feel like a poor piece of shit.
You poor piece of shit. Yeah. I just bought my mother a Cadillac. Yeah.
I was trying to be like, you know, something fancy like a BMW.
You know, the lease is up on my $117,000 base price Jaguar. Yeah.
Nice Sears suit, you piece of shit. It's like when John Hamm made fun of my jacket.
You know how many suits I got in my trunk of my Jaguar? Not that many. It's a small trunk.
When John Hamm made fun of his jacket.
That's exactly the same feeling I just had.
It broke him inside a little bit. It broke him inside.
Well, the worst was like he says it out loud to everybody. And then
Jonah's horrible jacket.
Go to commercial and he's like,
I have like the same looking jacket.
To you, one on one.
Yeah.
He totally threw you under the bus.
That was a...
Right under the ham bus.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
That was fun. Of the Nerdist TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't referring to this. I wasn't so quickly judging this.
The BMW's got a cool hybrid coming out, the i8.
Well, you know what I'm waiting for is the Volvo coupe that they have done the concepts of that mm-hmm. is traveling around the auto shows right now. I really like a Volvo.
Yeah.
Audi's too douchey. Sorry.
Audis are not douchey. I mean,
fuck yes they are. So is your Jaguar.
No, it's It's at the...
Come
it's
on. The,
it's
Come
fringe
on.
Douche. It's fringe douche.
Back.
It's fringe douche.
Come on.
It's fringe.
It's fucking...
Fringe.
It's,
the Audis are not. The Audis are really nice
the
cars.
Audi, the Audi. I find the Audi. The BMW.
I'm sorry. I think douchey is like... I think douchey is...
Escalades and Rolls Royces.
It's when you're getting into like Bentleys or like, you know...
Oh, well, you're in a different socioeconomic class than
like
the rest
a Vanquish, I think, is kind of a douchey car. It's a gorgeous...
It's a fine car to have if you have... It's not your main daily driver. You don't want to...
Right.
You don't want to run around with a Vanquish.
But if the car works...
If you drive it... I feel like if you drive an R8, that might be kind of douchey.
You see, I disagree.
I think it's a cool looking car, though.
I disagree. I find the S4, the S5, and the S7, those are the douchey ones. Because those are the fucking people who try to be like, can't really afford.
You know which one I hate? The SS.
Can't really afford. They're the worst kind of Germans.
The worst. No? Is that the sound of a car?
No, but
it's
like
the sound of a new Volkswagen.
It's coming. It's coming around the thing.
I'm not gonna get a new car. The car's working great.
Get a GTI.
Not gonna get anything.
All right.
The fine. Fit is go, friend.
Golf or a rabbit or
they don't make
the Volkswagen Rabbit actually has a place to stimulate the clitoris and the vagina and
yes, come on, guys. Just like the rabbit.
Yep. Wow.
But
wait for you to pull out your Hitachi material.
Wang computers, really?
Hey, Lowell, Massachusetts own Wang computers.
I've been desperately trying to find a Wang computer shirt.
They started in Wang. We have one at the funeral home that still has all old funeral home records on it. An old Wang that they spent $17,000 on in like 1980s.
Old Wang?
Well, it's a funeral
home. There's an old Wang in the funeral home. Yeah, downstairs. In the where the caskets are, where the overflow is.
Oh, overflow?
We got caskets coming out of our ears.
It's where the showroom is, and then, you know, we keep a little extra. Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case of a bus accident.
Okay, sure. Yeah, of course.
I don't know why we'd get all the funerals from the same bus accident.
Just in case there's a tense scene in a horror movie where a kid has to hide in one of the caskets.
And a killer is trying to search through all of them.
Nope, not in here.
Get out of here. Oh, well, I guess I'll leave. There was only one left.
God damn it. Why didn't we have overflow?
We heard that noise and then left.
I don't know. I liked the S5 one I had. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's okay.
Pretty snazzy.
But there's I associate it with like bankers, like a banker's car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what's next.
I know, you got a big decision to
Tesla.
Make.
I like the Teslas,
but
what's happening?
Know. Tom drives one,
and
Chelsea
drives one,
and Al drives one.
Yes, very successful, well-off people.
I don't mind that other people
that
also
care about
Teslas.
The environment.
Hang on, I would mind. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't care for that.
You don't think so?
The only guy I know that drives a Volvo. Well, me and Joe Farrell.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
What are you thinking? Maserati?
I looked at the Gran Turismo. Looked at the Gran Turismo. The problem with the Maserati...
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hardwick will now relate to no one.
Doctors know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. As I listen to this podcast on my gold iPod,
the
diamond-crusted earbuds.
Musings of one Christopher H.Q. Hardwick.
Finally, a podcast that speaks to me, a billionaire.
The intro was just money falling on the ground.
As I sat weeping in my Fisker.
Come on, guys, you know what? I've had periods where I was completely broke.
Well,
I happen to be working a lot.
Baby.
Now it's fun to get snazzy cars.
Plant it.
It's great.
Doesn't, you know, and,
it's great.
And you know, the thing is, I think I have a good, healthy attitude about snazzy things, which is it doesn't really... You know, like if Chloe's like, oh, I bumped your door on the thing. I'm like, I don't give a shit. It's a fucking car. Like,
yeah,
it's a thing.
Exactly.
I don't care. It's a thing.
I'm the same way.
How long does it take you... After that happens, and she tells you till you say that.
So there's like a refractory period.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. It's not a thing. It's just a car.
Process. I can't breathe.
It's just a car.
Hey, babe.
I'll let it slide because you were born in the late 80s.
Well, you know what? Not so bad.
Hey, you know what I found out
today? I've talked to humans born in the late 90s recently.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found out today, Generation X, 61 to 81.
Yep. We missed it, buddy.
Yeah. We both missed it.
Yeah.
Wait, no, no, no. Millennials, 83 to now.
So you're in the middle.
So
there's
no Y? There's no Generation Y?
Apparently there's no Generation Y. If there was one, it would, I guess, be 1982, which is the year I was born.
Jonah, your generation, why not?
Yeah. Jonah-ration.
Isn't that weird, though? You look up the generation, like, for Millennials and Generation X, because they, like, apparently that's what they're just, they're the Generation Y or whatever it was going to be.
So the baby boomers,
but
Gen
Y
X
turned into Millennial.
Yes. Now it's like, now they're just saying, oh, that's Millennial. Now they're
But I tend to feel like I'm an old soul guy, so I really feel like a baby.
Well, I think there should be, like, you know, if you were in, like, already past puberty and then the internet came out.
I feel like a millennial is not born in 81 because that would make a millennial 33.
83.
So that doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah, 83. They're saying I'm a millennial.
Yeah, because you're born away.
83.
You're not a millennial.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Kyle's. You're closer to millennial.
You were born after Back to the Future. You're a millennial.
Yeah.
You might be a millennial.
If you were born and remember not having the internet.
If you were only alive during the last two Back to the Futures.
If you looked up to Saved by the Bell, you might be a millennial.
Millennial. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I missed the Saved by the Bell thing. I didn't give a shit about it. I never watched it.
It's not true, because I did.
You
I
did?
Watched it.
I
would say millennials.
It was on when we were children.
Millennials are 86 and later.
It was
I totally
on
missed
kids.
It.
Suit Your Shorts?
Suit Your Shorts I watched.
Same fucking thing. Same time.
Suit Your Shorts better.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, good.
Sure. Cool. But it was like 88
but like,
or
I didn't
7
watch
is
it.
When.
I didn't watch it because I just didn't like.
What?
89?
Miss Bliss came out
in 89.
Yeah. Miss Bliss, what the fuck is that?
That was what it was called before when it was Haley Mills was the main person of the show.
Then she died.
Oh my god, that's terrible. Yeah. Well, then we got the age of Zach. What did she die of?
So that Zach Morris could
rock. Oh no. Yeah, that's funny. That's how head of the class started. Now there's a difference between millennials and
I remember Head of the Class.
So Head of the Class started as a sitcom that was supposed to revolve around Howard Hessman. And then it became more about the kids. And then he was like, well, fuck it, I'm leaving. And then
Billy Connolly
took
came
over.
In. Everybody.
That's right.
And then, you know, Dan Schneider, Brian Robbins. Dan Schneider, of course, who created iCarly and all of the surrounding shows, all that. All those are Brian Robbins, who
was very handsome, and I got his autograph once.
Started
the World of Wheels.
Awesomeness TV was Brian Robbins' company, the YouTube channel Awesomeness TV, and then made a bunch of those movies. He did. Brian Robbins produced what was the Keanu Reeves movie with the kids playing baseball?
Oh, Hardball.
Yeah, Hardball. That was a Tolan Robbins movie.
Anyone see 47 Ronin?
No, I want to see it. Looks things. Fun. I want to see it too.
Looks fun. You want to see it? Not a lot of people want to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Yeah,
I'll watch that.
Very fun.
Dragon. The arc light and see
fucking
it.
Lady turns into a dragon. I'm all about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Why I'll not? Go. I mean, it looks like a Keanu Reeves fighting and some Japanese being spoken. And why not?
Yeah.
Why not? It's everything we loved about the Matrix.
Oh, did you guys see?
Without being the last two Matrix.
You're next
movies.
Yet.
No, you love that movie.
God, I'm just thinking about it all the time. It's great.
Oh, I was thinking in my head. I was thinking he had said that. You saw it on a plane?
Yeah. No, I watched it when I was
at
I was
the
at a hotel.
Hotel
I was sick.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it was great.
You're next.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, because
I
thought the campaign around it sort of made it look like, oh, it's one of those movies. But you said it's actually really good.
Yeah, it's very smart, very aware of itself. You know,
just like you.
And it's it's great. I liked it a lot. I was very surprised by it, and I think it's one of those movies. It's like a Cabin in the Woods where you can't talk about it too much without
ruining it for
ruining
anybody.
It. Yeah,
you know what I have been rewatching and enjoying?
Frasier?
No. Yeah. Well,
don't. Why would you open that?
Hang on. Yes, but also, Sequest.
Oh yeah,
Sequest is on the Netflix right now, 3 seasons worth. But it's really nice to see Roy Scheider. I miss that guy a lot.
And a talking dolphin.
Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
The dolphin didn't talk. I mean, it was the computer program that Jonathan Brandis designed.
Yes, the Wesley Crusher of Sequest.
Yeah.
you know what I did for my DVR? I just made it record all Simpsons reruns. And so now, like, I always have, like, five old Simpsons episodes to watch.
I don't mean to hipster you, but I did that for years. Mm-hmm. Like, since I could get a TiVo. So, yeah. I think I'm a little ahead of you.
This is my first DVR I've been able to afford.
On that one. God damn it.
Chris.
It's nice to have money, okay? It's nice.
No, I'm sure.
I didn't know it was that.
When Chris was driving his Audi to his house in the hills, he was always thinking, I'll just watch some Simpsons.
Yes. It's gonna be great.
But it was...
Guys, the fans want me to have nice things.
I'm trying to think of the douchiest thing I could say.
The fans want me to have nice things.
Yeah. I hear people...
The fans say the fans, we should hook up.
Yeah, listen, the fans that works, are way in support of
if
this.
It's what the fans desire.
I want to let the fans out. It's funny, I hear a lot of people now use the word the fans want ..
You're not, I mean, is that appropriate?
Yeah.
Wait.
What?
But like, are you talking about like someone like me going like, well, the fans really wanted me to.
The fans wanted .. Well,
is that what you're saying, or are you saying if I tweeted at you, I'm a fan of you, Chris? And
no,
I go,
no. That not
hey,
that.
The fans want you to fuck.
It's hearing people use the fans A, so they can hear themselves say the fans, and B, so they can do things that what they really want to do, and then put it off on this mythical mass of people called the fans.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Or maybe because everyone's famous now because of the internet. So
is everyone famous because of the internet?
A lot of people are.
Well, they perceive themselves as famous and they act like it. There was a thing I noticed when I was working at this place in Venice Beach, where like, you know, a lot of like people who kind of run businesses or probably run like their office or something like that.
Drive outies that type.
They come in and like they have that attitude of like, yeah. It's just like, people pay attention to me. People know me. People listen to what I say. So now you're going to have to do the same thing.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the thing that happens a lot with people who perceive themselves as famous.
Well, the problem is
it's like, hey, wait, are you talking to me?
It's very easy to drink your own Kool-Aid with the internet because you're surrounding yourself with things that you want to see and people
water
who are giving
sugar.
You attention. And,
yeah.
And so it's very easy to be like, oh, I must be blah, blah, blah. But then you realize, like, man, no one really gives a shit. You know, like, most people don't really give a shit. Doesn't matter. I mean, I
the... We give a shit, Chris!
Yay! Oh, I don't.
Matt doesn't.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
But I remember, this is going back to the money thing. What was your brokest moment when you were like, I am really broke?
Fuck. There's been a ton. I don't know. Just scrounging around. I was living in Hollywood. I got fired from I'm trying to remember, but it was just like going through my couch for change so I could eat that day.
Yeah.
At El Pollo Loco. Cause like, it's like they had the 99 cent menu and it was just like, you know, just quarter was like a huge deal.
Yeah.
And that was probably it. And then I remember I was so dumb. I was like 20 and I got like this like debt thing, this like IRS saying you owe like, you know, $700, and that like blew me away. I was like, fuck, and I went to the bank asking for a loan for $700.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I tried to like cash a check for like, you know, $50 and they're like, oh, we won't be able to, this will just go to your debt. And I was like, oh. Okay, and then I just went across the street to the other bank and started a new account as to not have to deal with the debt at that bank.
That's wow. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that was probably the most destitute.
Oh, man, that's amazing. Wow. That's amazing. I remember when after, this was in the Peter Hardwick years of just like moving back to Westwood and being 30 and moving back to Westwood.
That's what I
yeah, that was right. It was right around then.
Oh, it's just weakest a moment, huh?
Small little. Small
that's what
little
I got in.
Cheap apartment, and there were days. There was a place that's still in Westwood too, called Headlines, and it's like this grill, like a burger grill, and just being so excited that you know that it, like they had this burger special that was like $3.24,
and just feeling like, oh man, I can totally afford that today. Yay! Yeah. But somehow always managing, oh no, it's not that I managed to scrounge money for beer. It's my friends ran the bars, and so
I would just get the beers. I used to, like, when
I worked at Apple, when I was there part-time, I was living in Pasadena when I first moved out here, and I was working at Apple part-time, so every 2 weeks, my check would be like $550.
Yeah.
And I'd have to pay rent, pay my car, pay whatever the fuck, you know, other bullshit, like electricity and stuff. And I would always end up for lunch, what I would get at the Apple store was at Bob's Donuts. They had the cinnamon roll, which was like that big, but $1.47, I think it was, and that's what I would eat for lunch.
Oh, man.
Could fill you up for the day.
Yeah, you'd think I'd be thinner.
Yeah. I remember I would always know to pay my phone bill when my phone got turned
off. That's exactly how I paid my bill for years.
How many times did you talk your way out of it, like at the gas company or the electric company? Or what was your favorite, you know, I don't know, I thought I paid it, you know.
I would get really indignant
when they're like, well, I have the canceled check right here. And they'd be like, well, we're going to need to see that. Well, yeah, I bet you would.
I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
I'm a busy man with a lot of things to do.
Yeah, I remember internet getting, or like phone line or electricity getting shut off, and then just walking up to the Kinko's on Vine to check my email, to check my Friendster account or something.
Oh, I'm not anyone's top eight.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was MySpace.
That was MySpace, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so funny you say that. That's how I used to pay my phone bill, too.
Yeah.
Whenever they'd shut it off.
Yeah. Oh, time to pay the phone bill. I guess it's been a month already.
Yeah.
So that's why it's fun. I mean, that's why I think, you know, if you come into money and you've been broke for a long time, it's great because I feel like you have an appreciation for it. You're like, oh, it's really, you know, like I pre-, but it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I get scared that's going to, you know, go away. And, you know, like I still like to spend money. I still like to, like, you know, it's like, hey, if you have it, you know, spend it. But, you know, D is always like, she still acts like we're just both working at fast food places. You know,
oh, really?
Like very scared of spending money.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not bad, though. No,
that's
great.
A great.
It's
great way to do it.
It's great, you know.
Good to balance it out.
I mean, it was Greta and I used to get into fights about, like, I was like, I'll buy you this salad that's $8. She's like, but it's $8. I'm like, yeah. Fine, it's $8.
Yeah, we got to figure out, you know, because we got taxes now as a married couple.
Oh, yeah, you got to do that, huh?
Yeah, got to figure that out.
Oh, I got some. I'm waiting on a shit ton of tax stuff to come in the mail.
No.
A couple more days, right? We got till the 31st, right? And they send you all your W-2s by then?
Yeah, starting to trickle in for me.
Just have your business manager deal with all of the.
The business manager I give 5% of your money to?
No, it's a monthly fee.
Yeah, great. Great. I was thinking about getting a business manager, though, honestly.
Don't even have to think about it. They just fill everything out.
Yeah, I was really thinking about that.
Honestly, yeah. You don't have to see it.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
Don't even have to. I mean, I'll have to sign things.
What do you have to make? Like,
it's a lot of work. I mean,
justify
I got
to
write my
manager. What do you have to make? Like 40, 30, 45,000 a year, something like that?
But yeah, somewhere around
right
there.
Guys, next year I think I can do it.
No one's going to get that we're kidding.
Oh, about the business? Yeah, we're not. I make way more than that.
No, I mean, I have a business manager and a lot of money.
I
just mean no one's going to get that we're kidding about. We weren't poor ever.
Never happened.
We're three trust fund kids.
Oh, God, living it up. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is my mother.
Oh.
Her dad's got like $8 billion, $9 billion,
something. Oh, really?
Yeah. The Dreyfuses.
She's doing okay.
Yeah. Or is it? No, it's the Louis-Dreyfuses. That's the name. That's the last name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this shit up.
All right. Who else do we know that's super duper rich? David Geffen. I've been to his house. He's super rich.
So cut out all the money stuff.
That was not good. That's like still.
Joey Maserati.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history.
Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.